Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome again to Lake Life Weekend podcast. This is weekend 7 coming up. It is beautiful out. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dirk. I'm your host here at this podcast. We are doing this for a year now, and I'm really glad you're tuning in. We have a growing listenership, and we have a sponsor this episode. Thank you for At Ease Dock and Lift here from the Frazee area. They're located on Highway 10, and they just built a very big new showroom last year, and you may have heard of them. They have a lot of lifts and docks and everything that you need to get ready and launch your boat and have fun on the beach on your lake. So check them out, At Ease Dock and Lift here in Frazee. Thank you for supporting this podcast. And before we tune in to learn from a very young group of 7 kids from Cormorant Village growing up lake life in small town Lakes Country, it's a very interesting story. They have a huge audience on YouTube worldwide, and their videos get watched, viewed over a million times. This is a unique opportunity for me as I'm here exploring the this internet medium with a podcast, and it's amazing. So please stay tuned and learn more about what they are doing here in our area. I'm very glad I got connected to them. Also, please, I know you heard before, we have the upcoming expo coming to Fargo at the Civic Center in downtown, February 23rd and February 24th, Friday, Saturday, with a nice program. We have 40 vendors coming from Lakes Country to showcase what they have to offer. Be prepared for a program on stage. We have a kids program from the DNR, some educational components, some really cool lifestyle podcasts live on stage for you. There's some more surprises coming. Check out our website, explorelakelife.com. There is more detail. If you would like to have a free family pass, it's a $10 value, please email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com, and we will send you a free family pass to come and explore lake life. So now I don't want to keep this any longer from our interview with the Sea Boys. Have a wonderful weekend ahead. Hello, yeah, welcome to our interview part. I'm here with two of the Sea Boys, with Micah and Ben. Thank you for coming, guys. Hello.
No problem.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, before we speak about the Sea Boys and what you have been doing with your YouTube channel, tell us a little bit about you, who's Ben, who's Micah, and introduce the other ones that couldn't make it.
Okay, I guess I'll start. I'm Ben Roth. I'm the youngest of the 7 Sea Boys. I'm 18 years old, and I'm currently a freshman at NDSU.
My name is Micah Sandman, and I am, I guess, 2nd of 7, and I am 22, graduated, I guess, with a graphic design degree, so I do a lot of behind-the-scenes design for the Sea Boys, and also the editing. And you go ahead and say the other 5 names.
Yeah, so there's 5 more of us. 1, Jake Sherbrooke, CJ Lotzer, Justin Hansen, Ken Matthews, or Grant Matthews, we call him Ken. And who am I forgetting?
Oh, and Ryan. Ryan, I mean. That happens every single time. Ryan. It's only brothers. 7 of us, but we literally always forget someone.
No, it's good. I can't. No, it's good. It's funny. So you're 7 guys, and you are mainly Detroit Lakes. You're all from Detroit Lakes, Fargo?
From pretty much most of us are from Cormorant, and that's where the C of the Sea Boy stands, comes from.
So you're from Cormorant Town?
It's a village.
I know.
Yeah.
So you guys are from Cormorant Village?
Yeah, our dog's a mayor. Yeah, that's what we tell everyone.
Okay, I thought it was just a story. So you grew up in Cormorant?
Village.
Yeah. Well, we live on Big Cormorant.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only one who didn't, but I've been working at Zorba's on Pelican for years, so I met all these guys, but pretty much Cormorant's like the home heartbeat.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I was of the assumption you all just had summer homes. Oh, no, okay. You're year-round, so you grew up on the lake. Oh, you lived year-round.
Yeah, we had to deal with the cold winters there, and when everyone leaves, we're the only ones there with no neighbors, so we kind of take advantage of that.
Okay, interesting fact, though. And you stayed local, and you're a true lake life boys. And since when are you the Sea Boys that have a YouTube channel? And when I checked yesterday, it was 208,000 subscribers worldwide. That's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
So since when are you doing this?
We actually started. We just got a camera one day, and we filmed us making a 300-foot slip and slide. And I think it was a month later that it ever got put on YouTube, and we'd always been called the Sea Boys. So when we were like coming up with a name for the YouTube channel, it just came instantly. We're like, how about Sea Boys TV? And from there, it kind of, I wouldn't say it grew slow, but for the next like month, we maybe had like 100, 200 subscribers. And then one day we uploaded a video that just skyrocketed, and it was getting like 10,000 views, 20,000, 30,000, and we were gaining like 1,000 subs a day. And at that point, we really had like no idea what we were getting ourselves into, and it's just grown from that. I think you said we were at like 208 yesterday. We're at 210 today, like gaining several thousand a day still, and it's right around 100,000 views a day.
No, it's really fascinating. Yeah. Because I look a lot at those things, and I'm in online marketing a lot. So the second video went viral, so to say.
Yeah, I think it's got like 2 million views right now.
It was actually like, that was our third video. So like, I remember in order to get even to monetize videos, you need to have 1,000 subscribers. And like, I've had a YouTube channel forever, and I was like, oh guys, this is gonna take forever. We're to get 1,000 subscribers, how are we gonna do it? And I think the thing was is that we were doing things just as crazy as what we're doing now before any cameras ever came out. But we just added cameras, added everyone's skills, everyone's got their roles, and everything went perfect.
Okay, so we have a little history. We know that for 1.5 years you have built this channel. You skyrocketed the subscribers. Tell us a little bit, what is your content? Like, what do you do for people that haven't seen it yet?
Okay.
I think that What people like most about us is we're real. We're not out there doing things like that are completely unrealistic to people. Like we do a lot of surfing and wakeboarding in the summers, and we shot a video of us barefooting for the first time, which was super funny just to see everyone like really like fail like hard. And then when snow comes around, we'll go snowmobiling or drift our Subarus around in the snow. And for kids our age, I think it's just really fun for them to watch, because we're not out being Travis Pastrana's doing double backflips on dirt bikes. Like, we're realistic.
Okay.
I think that's what a lot of people like about us. And we put personality into the videos, so it's not just a cut clip of somebody doing something. You can see kind of behind the scenes as if it's like a TV show, but you know, we're just kids uploading videos to YouTube.
And I think that's like, initially, if you do know YouTube, it's all about vlogging. So it's all about, vlogging means a video blog. It's what you're doing in your life at that moment. So you're taking a camera and you're holding it on yourself, but we're trying to differentiate from that is that I think Justin said it, that the way we film is it's very similar to hanging out with us. You watch a video and we want you to feel like you're hanging out with us, having fun with us. So that's that vibe that we've been really searching for.
You are able to transport this environment. So okay, I can feel being part of it. I get it. Mm-hmm. So you're actually putting thought in this and you're trying to develop a format.
Yeah.
It appears that you really have a concept.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, every video we have, we try and tell a story throughout the entire video. We bring characters like back, like made up characters, just to make things more funny. And like there's a, like an actual storyline, I guess, to our entire channel. But it's all like thought out, and we put a lot more editing into our videos now. Like they're not as raw as they may used to be, and I think that is really what differentiates us from a lot of channels, is we put a lot of time into our videos before we just upload it to YouTube. Mm-hmm. Like there could be anywhere from 10 hours to 40 hours. Like Micah just finished up a video that probably took him 40 to 50 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
post-production.
Yeah, exactly. So people really want us to upload like more. Like we get probably like 25 comments a day that's just say strictly like, you guys need to like daily upload or like upload more. And we've kind of just stuck to like what we believe, and we don't want to put crap content on our channel and just flood out like all the good content. So we kind of make people want more every video.
So if I understand right, it's a weekly program.
Yeah, we try and upload 1 to 2 times a week.
We have a new goal. I think CJ said it mainly. I think we can handle it, but we have a new goal for 2 videos a week for 2018. Which to a lot of people, and especially maybe older people, they're like, yeah, it's crazy you guys upload every week. And I was like, yeah, well, think about this. Some people upload every single day, and that gets really washed out. So yeah, 2 videos is the goal, and it's really hard gathering up everyone and editing, but I think we can handle it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I like the idea of keeping it a little bit rare, mm-hmm. like, and what you said. So let's circle back. 52 productions a year in 2017, right? 52 episodes, roughly.
Once I think we had right around 70.
Okay, so you did a couple few, maybe in the summer it was more fun.
Yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah.
So you roughly have 100 plus, if 16 was only the last half of the year. So you have how many episodes did you do?
I suppose we have about 75 out right now. So.
Total.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's about right, about one a week.
Yeah, one a week, okay, good. So, you said each of you brings a certain talent. Most of them are still in school. You're a graduated graphic designer. Uh-huh. You're going for what, Ben?
I'm going for business.
Okay. So you're going to do the accounting eventually.
I already do it.
Okay,
yeah,
okay, right.
I've kind of just like taken over that role.
Okay. So who has which talent? So like I'm curious. What is it?
To start out, everyone's got I would just speak for most people that everyone's favorite is Jake, because he's just a charismatic, careless like guy in a good way, careless. And he throws money around, he throws his toys around, he throws everything around, and it's great, and it's really entertaining, and people seem to love it. He frustrates us a lot, but he is definitely a fan favorite,
yeah,
for sure.
I mean, he'll even say it himself, though. He's a wild card. Like, we have to literally sometimes beg him to show up in a video just because everyone, if he's not in a video, they'll be like, where's Jake? Like, we can almost count on, like, 20 comments like that.
Huh.
So we're like, Jake, please just come and hang out. Oh, no, he doesn't.
Yeah.
But what's your guys' background? What is he? I mean, he now is the wild card, but what is he going for school for?
He's going for, his dad is a huge help to us for having a giant business, a turfing business, Sherbrooke Turf in Cormont, and he allows us to use all his equipment. So Jake has been working for him for however long. So he's going for civil engineering, which...
What's turfing?
Turfing is
doing
like...
Doing landscaping?
Yeah, kind of like that.
It's like commercial. If you ever seen highways where they spray down that green stuff, that's what they do, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
turfing.
So he's got a big compound that he lets us...
use.
Use,
play,
yep, drift, play, dirt bike, all that stuff. And then, so Jake actually has a lot of skill when it comes to, like, heavy equipment. Like,
mm-hmm.
we can always count on Jake to, like, make us a jump or something for our dirt bikes or snowmobiles.
So he's the hands-on guy?
Yeah, yeah,
you
I'd
are
say
the
so.
Graphic guy behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You're doing a little bit of the administrative.
Yeah.
Is there somebody that has maybe an acting? Or, like, is there any... Because scripting and, like, even the story... I have... been involved in, coincidentally, in film a little bit in the past. I've seen it, so there's a lot to it. It's not just like, you know, you need a storyboard and all those things. Does anyone bring something of this?
I think we all bring creativity to the video itself. one of the C-boys, Ken. Everybody thinks Ken doesn't do anything just because he's not out ripping wheelies on his dirt bike or doing kind of like what the C-boys would be like known for, you could say.
He's the opposite of the daredevil. He's the mediator.
He's the one telling us like how stupid we're being, and everyone's always just like, oh, Ken doesn't do anything. But I think that adds like so much to the video itself that like somebody is in there like telling us the consequences.
The morale?
Yeah, exactly. He's kind of like the dad figure of the group.
Really?
Yeah, so...
But, that's interesting.
I think circling back to your question of the like all of us when we first started filming, wow, we were the worst actors ever. We did not know what we were doing. We were just unnatural in a way. We felt unnatural, and so over the past year, we've definitely became as best actors as we could be. You know, like acting and just like when people point a camera at you, sometimes you get scared. Mm-hmm. Well, not anymore. It used to be like that though.
So you feel that you're actually taking roles?
We definitely take roles. Yeah. Okay. I think everybody feels like they have their certain position in the group that you almost have to come back every week with that same mentality of like how to do things, jokes to tell, what to say, like when, or like, yeah. Yeah, we definitely all have our own roles though.
Huh.
And we've all formed into it just by kind of seeing what needs to be done, or like, oh, that was funny, like you should do more of that, or like just things like that, I guess.
Tell us about like some of your productions before we talk technical, maybe behind the scenes. But you said barefooting, I think you just made a trip to Montana, so sledding. Tell us like maybe the one of the funniest or what is the most amazing production for you. What was it, dirt biking? What was really awesome to film?
So we have a little shifter cart. It's, you know, it's got the tiny little wheels. You're
a
about
go-kart?
Yeah, shifter, it's like
cart?
A go-kart,
really,
yeah,
fast go-kart,
but it does,
yeah,
like 70 miles per hour, and it's loud, like really loud. But anyway, so that was actually the first video that blew up on us, that's got like 2 million views right now, of just like us going to pick it up. And like back then, we were literally had like 100 subscribers. So what we were doing, we were like, no one will ever see this. So we were just like, we used to just be like vulgar, just being like teenage kids, you know.
And you bought it somewhere? You picked it up?
Yeah, we picked it up. And like looking back at that video, from that video to a video that we would drop today, we were just like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe we were doing that, like, and that's online, because we didn't know like it was gonna blow up like that.
You put no thought into that.
Yeah.
Video.
Why did
back?
It? Why do you think this blew up? What was so amazing about that? Why?
Oh.
This was. What was it?
We put cops chase shifter cart down highway.
Oh, I watched that one. Oh,
people
yeah.
love.
Oh.
People love when like cops get involved and like. Luckily, I mean, we're like really respectful. I mean, it might not seem like it from like the videos, but like we have a pretty good like connection with like the sheriffs in our like community, like the Cormorant community, just because we know like they watch our videos.
Okay.
And we're not trying to be like disrespectful to them, although it may like seem like that, but I think we have like a...
They have your back?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
A little bit. I don't know. I mean,
know,
like, kind
some,
of.
Some of them do.
And, cool. Yeah, people
so
love
was...
when cops are in like a title of a video, and okay. I think that's why I got a lot of clicks. But
and did it get like coincidentally shared with someone that reshared it, or like where did it end up that it got 2 million views?
That one, I mean, that one definitely blew up. But then we did have one recently that was a shifter car video, but we were playing around with it on just glare ice out on the pond, and that one got picked up by a speed society, and they wrote an article on it, and so we actually didn't know that until about a week later, and we're like, man, this video really did good. So they did do a write-up on it.
Oh
yeah, that video had 750,000 views in the first week alone. So that also, people just love the shifter cart. I think it's because not many people have them. And
you're
it's like
foreign objects.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, it is.
So you bought it as a group? Did you all put $200 together?
No, we actually
all of you?
Jake bought it originally, and then it after we shot that video and kind of blew up from it, everyone was like, shoot another shift card video, shoot another shift card video. And CJ was actually the one to say, like, no, guys, we can't do that, because if we do that, then we'll be known for, like, a shifter cart versus, like, almost known for our personalities and have people coming back for that. So we didn't shoot another shifter cart video for, like, a year.
You guys really have your heads together. It's impressive because you do put a lot of thought in that. You have a marketing talent. It's actually really fascinating. So
because, like, with that, with a video, if last week we filmed something with snowmobiles or like maybe more specific snowmobiles jumping or maybe snowmobiles water skipping, we would never do that again for a while because you just want to keep it fresh. So we never really do two things in a row twice for sure.
Sure.
Yeah, we definitely have a really wide variety of viewers. I mean, we've got the car crowd, we've got snowmobiles, dirt bikes, we've got just kids that watch us because they think we're funny. Like the summer crowd, boats, skiing, girls. Like I think we touch to a lot of different communities.
Audiences. Interests. So which one was the most, I mean, the shifter card, is there another one? Which one did you like personally the best?
Personally, the funny ones are my favorite because I'm a big comedy guy. So, like, back to the barefooting, man, like, we all tried it. It was we tried to get Ken to do it, of course, and he wouldn't, but that also made it funny. But getting Jake to do it, Jake did it in khaki pants and socks, so I don't really know if you could call it barefooting since he did it in socks, but his socks flew off, and then his pants flew off, and then his underwear flew off, and it was just a hoot.
Literally, so, you drag somebody behind a boat, really anything going 30 miles per hour, and it's gonna be funny, guaranteed. Yeah. So
do you do it besides the boat?
Yeah, we did it beside the boat. Yeah. Maybe next year we'll have to do it behind. That'll
Some
be a little more carnage.
Lake.
Yeah.
On Lake 7, there is a group and they do barefooting because you need to have a real fast boat or something.
Yeah.
Explain to me.
Yeah,
35-40.
Yeah, you gotta go. So. Yeah, and it's gotta be just glass. And we went out when it was like rough and we were like, oh, this is gonna be even more funny. And it was great. So that's gotta be one of my favorite videos, but
we had the one where we put wheels on a couch, basically, and then pull it with a four-wheeler. It's about as dumb as it sounds. And CJ thought it would be funny, which, in hindsight, it was the best thing ever. It was great content. He whipped us into a pond with a couch with wheels, and we just ate rocks all the way in to this pond. And I was mad right away, but it's hilarious.
So,
it's funny to look
so
back at.
So do you have, like, so now let's talk how you do it, maybe, like, before production, and then we can touch a little bit post-production. But before, like, you meet as, like, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe the whole group on Mondays. It's like, hey, guys, what should we do this week? Do you come up with a concept? How do you prepare? How do you find content? Is it just out of, like, hey, let's film today? And how do you do that?
For the first, like, I'd say a year, we seriously flew off the seat of our pants. Like, we would never plan anything.
Okay.
It was like, we have the camera out, we know something's gonna happen, like, that day. I mean, we'd always have kind of, like, something in mind, but it was actually probably the beginning of this fall that we kind of started sitting down, like, on a Wednesday night and being like, okay, guys, we have, like, this, and this to do. Who's going to be around this weekend? Like, can we film this? Like, we need to come up with ideas, because after, like, a year of filming, you start to run out of ideas of things to do, obviously. But I think, like, when all seven of us are together, the videos are way better just because we feed off of each other. So we really try and get, like, seven of us to every video, which is hard because everyone's so busy with school or work. I think people don't realize how much we have going on outside of C-Boys.
So you have a life besides C-Boys.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so C-Boys is not a majority of your life. It's part of your life, but it's not...
I think it's taken over our lives.
Yeah.
Our girlfriends would testament to that.
Or
it's
like,
definitely,
for me,
yeah.
I mean, I really haven't put any serious thought into having a girlfriend, because I don't think I'd have to choose one or the other at this point, because you have to pour I pour so much time into it, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
So you started organizing yourself August 1 year later this fall. You said, like, hey guys, we gotta have a weekly meeting. We have a strategy meeting Wednesday nights at, if we can,
yeah,
and then you try to get together on the weekend. So you are more organized. did you probably a company in a way?
Yeah,
because you do
exactly,
get some.
Yep.
So it's now it became fun, became a business. You take it more professional. You're starting to become a production.
Yeah.
Very fascinating.
It definitely turned into more of, oh, the C-Boys are filming this weekend, into like the C-Boys as a company, like how we have to like produce content, or whether it be like content or our merchandise. It's definitely like a full-blown company at this point, where we all have to kind of help, otherwise it's not gonna flourish.
So the company consists of advertising income through a YouTube channel, and then you have a different arm. You have merchandise, you just mentioned. So you do t-shirts, little hats, hoodies. So you have a apparel.
Yeah, exactly.
That are the two revenue streams.
Yep. And so, and like the merchandise, believe it or not, I mean, I wouldn't say it's that surprising, but it actually brings in probably tenfold more than the YouTube revenue.
People buy your shirts?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we have, like, we went to, it's called Hay Days down in the cities. It's kind of like a pre-snowmobile year, like event. Like, there's, I don't know, 100,000 people there.
Yeah.
And
where? So,
North Branch, right outside of the cities.
And they come all with a snowmobile?
Yeah, it's really weird that they have it in early September, but it's the snowmobile year kickoff. Everyone sells all their new, shows off their new parts and whatnot. So we had
it's kind of like a trade show.
Yeah, basically. It's like 100,000 people trade show.
Indoors?
No, it's outdoors.
It's kind of like a flea market.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay.
But we set up a booth there with our merch, and we just put out on our Snapchats and Instagram, and we were just like, hey, if you're at Hay Days, come find us. And I think like several hundred kids, like separate kids, like showed up and like bought our merch, and it was crazy. Like, just to really, because I mean, it's different when you're selling it over the internet, but when you actually see them like in person, how excited they get when they put your t-shirt on or sweatshirt on, and like,
and meet
when
you.
They meet you, yeah, and they're, yeah, we were signing autographs, and kids were asking for pictures, and it's like, it's honestly, it's
real.
It's
not the internet, it's not virtual, it became real. So
that's not, like, I never thought I'd be signing autographs, you know, like, I don't know if it was weird that I felt weird signing autographs, but you know, you just never see it. You just never picture yourself signing someone's hat and then them wearing it all over or something. So
yeah, our dads were just sitting there like, what the heck is going on right now? Like, kids were coming up and taking pictures with us and just freaking out if they like ran into us. And yeah, I think our parents are definitely
surprised.
I think everyone's surprised.
It's interesting that you mentioned that too. I think about this a lot lately. A generational thing. My father's almost 80. Okay, your parents are probably 50-ish or something like that. So different generation on top of that, but how do they understand technology? And the internet came, and now they're doing online banking, but now there's something called a YouTube channel, and then you have fans from Paris, like, what? They're like, I've never even been there, and then now you reach people. And yeah, it must be really fascinating to see that you kind of like a rock star thing, or like fame.
I think with our age, we're still just young enough that our parents do have a lot of influence. The channel aside, just exactly what we're doing, if they tune in, they have a lot of influence. Like, if they see us speeding in a car, or there's a few things they're like, nope, you cannot do that, and that's totally fine that they had this influence. You know, my maybe Ben's parents really don't want him riding a wheelie on his dirt bike at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, why would they want that?
Yeah, exactly. But they just don't want that. And my parents never really bothered by anything crazy I did. But like, for me, if we had any sort of potty mouth, that's what my parents were mad about. So they all have different things that they do have a huge influence on our channel. But as for the numbers and the fame, if you will, that definitely rattled my parents.
You know what I think is, I mean, I don't want to say something wrong, but it's kind of cute to see you, but what I mean is that you're so respectful over the parent, and you're not this rough kids that are trying to rebel against anything. I think that is really cute, maybe the wrong term. It's really beautiful in a way, to be so connected to your parents, it shows actually also mm-hmm. the quality and the thought. There's a reason why you are so successful. It probably the production and all the content is so thoughtful that it arrives with the viewership. It's beautiful,
I mean,
to see.
Without like our parents, like we do a lot of filming, and we actually set up like our office in the loft of above my garage. And I mean, like, without my parents' support, like none of that would have been possible. And I mean, I think every C-boy has like a certain respect for their parents because they still help us out like so much. And I mean, like, we still live at home just because that's where we film on the weekends when we come back from school. And all of the C-boys' parents are super supportive about it. I mean, they might give us like a hard time about our potty mouths or what we did in the last video, but they still all watch it and they'll text us about it, like, awesome editing in the last video or like something like that. So I mean, we all know that without our parents, like, C-boys in general wouldn't be a thing, because
I think that's great. So we spoke about a little history, we spoke a little bit content. What I'm curious about actually is technology. So you mentioned the camera on. How big of equipment, how many cameras are on? Is it the phones? Is it professional? Is it GoPros? If I may ask, what are you using? And then editing, and what kind of software? Like, how?
I think, so right away, like, I've been making videos for forever and not high quality, but luckily the skills came when they needed to. So I had a camera, and it was a great camera 7 years ago, but it wasn't great now. So anyway, when we bought our first good camera, it was really awesome. And I bought that one out of pocket after CJ bought one out of his pocket too. But then when we really came time and we got a Canon 80D, that was our first company camera. And I mean, if anyone is looking for a camera, that is just, it's just amazing. It's a DSLR. It's a pretty big camera. So
it's a real professional equipment.
It's been good. And when it comes to GoPros, we have a ton of GoPros. Don't use them as near as much as we should. But so we have that.
So they're good too?
GoPros are great. The newer GoPros they're making now are phenomenal. Like, there are people out there that just use GoPros to vlog. And then most, as of recent, just on Camera Talk, we bought a Sony A7S II, which is us buying a decent lens with that body. It was about $4,000. So for me, as like a filmmaker outside, like, that was just a dream come true, considering the whole company bought that. You know, I get to use this really nice camera, we all do, and I didn't have to pay a penny for it. So that was really just an awesome moment for all of us.
So you have some equipment there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we've got that. We've got a drone too. We've got the Ronin stabilizer that, like, literally if you put the camera on it and run down the street holding it, it seriously looks like a buttery perfect shot. So I mean, through our videos,
what is this, a Ronin?
It's like a giant stabilizer. So you put the camera on it. Yeah,
three axis gimbal, basically. You know, okay. So the camera just stays in one spot.
Really?
Yeah.
And it just works.
It's just perfect. Yeah.
And then one of you guys is just operating. So is everybody always involved in like one take? Do you take turns, or do you have a cameraman outside of the seven?
No, that's the power, I guess, of the seven of us. I think anyone could have a cameraman. It'd be awesome to have a cameraman. But the power of the seven of us is that we can hand it, here, take the camera, film us, and then I'll take the camera now. So I think that's the other part that people like, is that the way we film, the way that there's always someone filming someone else, and the camera is always in someone else's hands. Maybe not Jake's, because we don't really
We don't let that. But the rest of the C-boys can handle
it.
Exactly. No, he's definitely more of a in front of the camera, not behind it kind of guy.
Okay.
If he did grab it, it'd probably be like shaky, and probably not even on the shot half the time. But he's definitely he's really good on camera. So we just keep it like that.
Okay. I'm always curious about the sound. So do you record sound separately? Is it all from each camera? How does that work?
Yeah, there's a mic on each camera. Okay. We've been talking about getting like separate personal mics, like to mic people up. But which would be cool, because then you could like hear the person underneath their helmet if they're across a field or doing something.
But that's only line up. That's for like certain settings, you know. Mm-hmm. When you have someone 300 feet away, you can hear exactly what they're saying. But we have shotgun mics, so we do have. So a shotgun mic is it basically, you know what, like a shotgun, it shoots a wide spray, so it kind of it could capture you talking to me 10 feet away as long as I have it pointed in your general direction.
Really?
So
yeah. It's also professional equipment again.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It's like aftermarket. I don't really, it was $100-$150 about for the mic. So definitely not the mic from the camera.
You have a separate one.
Yeah, it's on the top of the camera. And it just plugs into the camera.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. But it helps a lot. Some vloggers don't actually use mics, but for what we do, we definitely have to have a mic.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just doesn't pick up noises from beyond like 10 feet usually.
Yeah.
We do so much filming outside that there's this thing called the dead cat. I don't know why they call it that, but it's a big furry.
Yeah.
It's a furry thing, basically, that you put onto the microphone, and it eliminated wind noise almost 100%. So
oh, really?
Yeah, that was huge for, like, our channel. When we got that $30 thing, when we film outside, you literally can't hear wind anymore. So
interesting.
That was definitely a good move.
Yeah, that was a big play.
So you have quite a equipment, and then do you... What kind of software? Did you buy the computer? Like, what do you use?
We all have our laptops that we got originally for school that work just as fine for editing purposes. We all use Final Cut Pro.
Okay.
So a lot of YouTubers use Premiere.
Adobe Premiere.
Yeah. But okay. Final Cut, it's super easy to learn. It literally, you can do just as much with it. And it's kind of nice because then, if I'm editing a video and I go out to eat or something like that, Micah could just hop on my computer, do some stuff, because he knows just as well how to run it, and CJ could do the same. And then, that's pretty much all we use. You can honestly use, like, iMovie.
You could.
Like, what you use to edit, it literally is not important. As long as you get your vision across and the final product is just as good as you think, it is to upload it, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, no, but like your quality, it's like, so you say it's fairly easy.
I mean, it's the learning curve, okay. Basically with that. I think it's just like how we all happen to have Subarus. I think the whole crew, basically besides one stubborn one, we all have Macs, but that was just because we just happened to all decide to get Macs.
Mm-hmm.
So Final Cut is just a Mac program, but I mean, so the learning curve is a little bit, but like, I have been editing on it for a while, and I taught Ben how to do it, and he's honestly probably better than me now. So, okay. You know, once you get going on it, it's just almost fun.
Okay.
It's just fun to be more creative with it, so.
Yeah, when you have a vision, and you can put that vision onto the video, and then when you get done, you're like, that is sick. Like, that's pretty much worth it right there. However long it takes. It's totally worth it.
So, one more question here. When post-production, so you're pretty much working a whole week on this. Like Wednesday, you are creative, brainstorming. When you're filming, let's say you film one day or 2 days, and the product, the final movie film, is between 10 and 15 minutes?
Yep.
12,
yep.
13, something like that?
Something
like that? Yeah. So, is it like... 6 hours of footage, 4 hours? How much film did it take to create 12 minutes?
I mean, when you have like 4 different angles of every shot, it takes a long time to go through. Because you don't wanna take a shot and then get done with it and be like, that angle's way better. Or forget about somebody who is using their iPhone to film something. So you go through a lot of footage.
Okay.
Like I would say over 5 hours worth of footage.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, the sad thing, really, the one thing we're trying to get away from, maybe summer, is like we're weekend filmers, which is kind of, you know, like weekend lake life. Like that's what you, on the weekend is when you get to have fun. So we film on the weekend and we jam pack it. We film all day Saturday, all day Sunday. So, but other times a video could literally be filmed in a span of 3 hours and be, you know, 12 minutes long. It depends on what the goal of that video is. So sometimes it's just our whole weekend in one video, and other times it's one. Like, we studded my dirt bike tires, went out, ripped it, had a lot of fun, got some great shots, and then filmed that whole video in about 4 hours. So it does differentiate.
So it always depends. Okay.
Yeah.
And then do you take like 3 shots of the same thing? Or do you just do one natural?
If it's crazy. If it's a crazy thing, you know?
So you do it 3 times?
If we're jumping a car?
Most of the stuff we do is like, oh, that was sick. Dang it, we can't do it again. It's broken.
Yeah. So, like. But if it's talking, I think CJ is really good about this. If we're talking, that's why it is some acting. So if we say something funny off camera, CJ will start that record button right up and say that again. You know, try to be natural. Say that again. So, you know. People might think it's all unscripted, but that is not the truth. But that's kind of the fun part about it. If you have a good joke and you say it off camera and you can re-say it again and make it just as funny, then say it again.
Okay.
So sometimes there is more than one take.
Yeah. And then sometimes it comes out and we're just like, God, that was not funny at all. Yeah. The second time.
Yeah, sometimes it is really unnatural when you know, because that joke's only maybe funny the first time. So.
Yeah. But then I understand that... normally you just film something once.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it actually is somewhat really reality captured reality.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's not really staged. So it's, I think it's a difference. I, you know, House Hunters?
Yep.
I was on House Hunters once.
Oh, really?
In Fargo, yeah. So anyway, so when we filmed House Hunters, they did it, everything had to be shot 3 times.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Everything. So everything. So it was like 5 days production for like a 30-minute or whatever long it was in the end. So I have seen how it's all done. Mm. And then it was all, again, like everything was 3 times because of somewhat. So I was curious, do you... You know, barefooting. I mean, everybody 3 times. Oops, you know, it may hurt. But so that is fascinating. So everything is kind of natural.
It is. But even when we have like a friend come around that doesn't normally hang out with us when we're shooting, like they'll even say like, oh, wow, I didn't know there was like so much that went into your guys' videos, like behind the scenes. Like we think out a lot of the stuff before we do it. Sometimes not. And we just go and do it. And then we miss the shot half the time. But like... There is a lot of thought that goes into it that I think a lot of people don't see.
Okay, yeah. Well, there was a lot of info. Your channel is C, like the letter C, mm-hmm. C Boys TV. It's a YouTube channel. We had 210,000 subscribers. Let's see where we're at the end of this month. And then what is your goal? Do you have a goal? Do you want like 500,000 subscribers? Or like where do you want to take this?
I mean, our goal is 1 million subscribers.
Really?
Yeah, but like it's definitely realistic goal, because I think we all think we can achieve it. And when you start growing like a channel like ours, it kind of snowballs. So let's say today we gain 600 subs. Well, in a month we could maybe gain 1,200 subs every day. So it just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. And last year, I think in the year we did, I don't know, like 100,000. And then in the next 6 months, we did another 100,000, and we're probably on track to hit 300,000 by end of April, I'd say.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you're really organized.
So I mean, you can see your like all of YouTube's like analytics, like, but we
also
definitely
be careful,
check it.
Like not you want to be careful not to obsess over it. You know, look at these views, and you don't want to ever get lost in that. You don't want to ever like. Start thinking about views and numbers. Actually, it's mainly numbers, because these are real people subscribing to you, so you don't want to get lost in the numbers. You want to go through the comments and read them and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, we have a goal, but also YouTube has, it's endless, you know. So but a big goal is 1 million subs, and then
really, so you see this as, this is a future thing. Yeah. This is not just a project, and that's not just the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It grew into a real thing for you guys.
For sure.
I think we're trying to do it as fast as possible, because we know that we're not going to be C-boys for the rest of our lives. and people are going to grow up. They're going to get families. They're going to get real jobs. So we're kind of, when people ask us that a lot, like, well, what's your plan in like 2 years? I mean, we don't really have a plan, but in 2 years, if we're able to say, oh yeah, we have 1 million subs on YouTube right now. I mean, like, that's something to say in itself.
So I think with like another thing, you know, we have that, and then we have, so we print all of our own merchandise, and with the skill of that, like, we've just been learning so much. And then, so let's say it all crashed down to the, or crashed to the ground today, you know, we'd all just be really smart, better off people, or like,
absolutely,
from what we
experience
learned.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, me and Ben definitely, and I think really all of us, but like, I feel like especially me and Ben have been working together, like, just, you got that entrepreneurial spirit, you know. Some people have it and some people don't, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't, but I think we kind of have a mentality that we can't fail. Not cocky, in a humble way, we can't fail.
What I think is fascinating, if I may sum this up, it's like when I was in high school, right, or even when I was your age in Germany, we have to do internships. Yeah. A lot. Now it's coming here too, to get some practical experience before you exit into the mm-hmm.
yeah.
job world, work life. I think it's fascinating that you are using a hobby, like that's film, and you're actually making this into an organized business. You
yeah.
actually, I hope you pay taxes, by the way. No,
yeah,
but like, what I mean is, you really built a skill, and you just said it, even if it crashed in half a year, you earned a lot of experience going to a show, applying, setting up a booth, having subscribers, communicating, mm-hmm. receiving feedback, critique. Yeah, I think any employee, even in a few years, would be well off hiring someone like you. And it's actually a really interesting role example. I'm a little bit more the father here. I'm almost your double your age, but if kids like you, we have a bright future. Everybody says, hey, what's the future? The kids just play video games and like they do nothing but absorb or consume. If more kids like you or younger generation produces and collects those experiences and is ready for the work world, I think it's a really a fascinating future. I'm actually glad that I learn and speak, and our audience may be a little bit older than you. Hopefully soon they will be younger like you. But I think it's a good thing to hear what the kids are doing, because you are brightening up the hopes for a better future. And I think it's fascinating. Can you hear what I'm saying? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate that. Thank
no,
you.
It's true. I just absorbed all that. I'm really fascinated. I'm a little jealous too, but but you're doing something really beautiful. It's very artistic.
Thank you.
Have an artistic background. I'm glad to hear that you have way more thought into this. It's not just,
yeah.
oh, what the heck? No.
Yep.
It's fun. An organized skill. It's beautiful. I'm hope to meet the rest of the seven,
oh,
the five missing
yeah,
ones.
We'll bring them around.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, great. So we have Montana coming, and then hopefully the snow's gone soon. And is there some highlights? You went to Montana, so that's outside of Lakes Country. Do you have something else? Do you want to preview some? Are we expecting? Are we going to South America once, or like do you?
I think. I mean, we're making friends from YouTube. All over the
globe.
Globe, yeah, pretty much. I mean, we've got some buddies from Canada that just hit like 1 million subs, and a couple of friends out in California that we'd like to go out and shoot with that came here last summer, I think.
Really?
Yeah, one of them's almost got like 1 million subs, and we're definitely...
It's a network.
It is, and we're definitely small-town boys. I mean, you put us in a big city... And we're like, I think we're better in Cormorant. But
really?
it is fun to go somewhere else, do something new. I think the subscribers like to watch us do something new because we're funny and we're realistic, you know? We're not really good at something, and we'll do it, and it's funny, and they enjoy to watch that. Or we'll pick something up, and we might be good at it, and that's fun to watch too. So we're definitely going to start traveling more.
Hopefully, yeah, it's tough. I mean, picture, you know, you got to get seven guys
mm-hmm.
Away from their life or whatever to
mm-hmm.
get them to travel. But, man, if we could take a few trips, the seven of us, and just, yeah, just really show people just, I don't know, quality entertainment, you know?
I'm out there. My head is spinning. I'm getting dizzy. It's you have a lot. Yeah, it's fun. I'm really excited to see what's coming, and I yeah, it's fun. Yeah, thank you very much for coming.
Yeah,
I hope
no problem.
That we will stay connected and maybe hear you again in a 2018 flashback.
Yep.
What was the craziest in 2018? Thank you very
yeah,
much
absolutely.
For coming.
Thanks for having us.
It's cboystv.com. You have a YouTube channel there, and for everybody to check that out. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us, dude.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.